You're listening to a podcast from thebodypro.com. The following podcast was recorded at the 14th Conference on Retroviruses and Opportunistic Infections, also known as CROI 2007. For more podcasts and full coverage of this conference, please visit us online at thebodypro.com.
My name's David Cooper. I'm from the National HIV Centre in Sydney, Australia, the University of New South Wales, and I'm a principal investigator for the Benchmark 1 study, which was carried out on behalf of Merck. My colleague, Dr. Roy Steigbegel, is from Stony Brook in New York, is the principal investigator for Benchmark 2. These are two phase 3 studies looking at the first HIV integrase inhibitor called raltegravir. It was previously known as MK0518, but now has a new generic name of raltegravir. And this is a new target of the HIV virus, one of the third enzyme to be able to be targeted by a small chemical entity that blocks the integration of proviral DNA into the cell. These studies are very similar in structure to the two studies presented by my colleagues at Pfizer. They're identical phase 3 studies in a randomized double-blind placebo-controlled trial. They compare raltegravir at 400 milligrams twice a day with placebo on an optimized background, and the patients had to be triple-class experienced with failure. The primary endpoint of this study is at 16 weeks, and is ongoing out to 48 weeks. This is a pre-planned analysis at 16 weeks on the basis that some regulatory agencies, particularly in Europe, like to see 16-week data for this very hard-to-treat population with limited options. The study enrolled a very typical population that we see with triple-class failure, usually men in their mid-40s, a CD4 count of 150, quite immunosuppressed, a viral load of 4.5 logs, and lots of antiretroviral therapy, both in duration and number of different drugs. And many of these patients were highly resistant. The results of the two trials at the primary endpoint at 16 weeks, with very few dropouts for toxicity, was 77% in the of patients achieved less than 400 copies in both trials in the raltegravir group, and 41 versus 43% in the placebo group. The figures for the less than 50 copies are 61 and 62% and 33 and 36%. There was good CD4 count responses of around 100 cells and a viral load response of 2 logs. There is limited resistance data in those patients who have failed. 41 raltegravir failures have been genotyped, and 32 of them have changes are consistent with what's known about the in vitro generation of resistance with raltegravir, and there appears to be two pathways to the development of resistance. The data is limited because not all the failures have been genotyped, and there are no temporal trends yet in the association and of this resistance. So I'll turn over to Roy, who'll just say a few words about some of the sub-analyses and the safety.
So I'm Roy Steigbegel from the University of Stony Brook in New York, and I'll be discussing some subgroup analysis, which is important for understanding additional information about efficacy and toxicity. So raltegravir, as is previously stated, is a new class which blocks the integration of the HIV DNA after it's been reverse transcribed into the host genome. And it is active against, in vitro, active against HIV-1, HIV-2, as well as all of the HIV, A, B, C, D. The subgroup analysis, which has been looked at, and I'll be giving you now the combined efficacy from benchmark 1 and 2. The overall efficacy, which was previously stated, in the individuals who received raltegravir plus optimized background, was 79%. That is, 79% of the people at week 16 achieved less than 400 copies. In contrast, those who do not have rotegravir with placebo plus optimized background was 43%. The data for less than 50 copies is analogous in the differences between the two groups, but with a lower magnitude of response. Now, in terms of subgroup analysis, there's an examination of those individuals who received enfuvirtide or duranivir for the first time during the period of the study. These are important because these medications generally will be active against virus which the people already had. For example, enfuvirtide is sometimes called T20, is an entry inhibitor, and duranivir is a protease inhibitor, which is active against many, but not all, viruses which are resistant to PIs. So, for example, in those individuals who received both of those for the first time, 98% versus 87% achieved the endpoint. Those that received only enfuvirtide, 90% versus 63%. And those that received neither of those drugs, 74% reaching the endpoint with the rotegravir group versus only 29%. A second type of analysis which is important is to understand the background of the background therapy of the individuals who entered the study. And this was done by looking at the both phenotype and genotype according to the monogram characterization. Individuals had zero, that is no medication active by geno or phenotype. The results were 61% in the rotegravir group versus 5% in the placebo group. With the genotype, the results are analogous. The other aspect is, which is important to look at, is the individuals who entered with greater than or less than 100,000 copies of HIV RNA and entry. And again, this is the combined data for both benchmark 1 and benchmark 2 at 400 cells, less than 400 copies of RNA, less than 400 copies of RNA at 16 weeks. For those with less than 100,000, 88%. In the rotegravir group versus 55% in the placebo group. Those entering with greater than 100,000 HIV RNAs at baseline, 64% versus 19%. The CD4 baseline analysis in those who entered with less than 50 cells, the rotegravir group, 63% reached the endpoint versus 24%. Of those between 51 and 199, the results were 86% versus 46%, and those with greater than 200, 88% versus 59%. So in summary, it was quite clear that across all baseline characteristics, there was marked superiority of the individual who had rotegravir added to the optimized background. A summary adverse clinical as well as laboratory abnormalities showed no differences across the two benchmark 1 and benchmark 2 in either the groups, who no difference between those who received rotegravir versus placebo. And these are the standard types of analyses done for both clinical manifestations of adverse effects as well as laboratory, including inflammation of the liver, sometimes referred to as liver function tests.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from thebodypro.com. For more podcasts and full coverage of major HIV medical conferences, please visit us online at thebodypro.com.